Hey there, I'm Matt Tommy, and over the last 10 years, I've helped thousands of Christian artists all over the world start thriving spiritually, artistically, and in the marketplace, while at the same time building my own super successful art business. If you're ready to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live in His kingdom, then you're in the right place, my friend. Now, with over 500,000 downloads, you're listening to the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. Well, hey there, my friend. It's Matt Tommy. So glad that you're with me on the podcast today. You know, a lot of us artists who are kingdom artists, believers, love Jesus, but who don't create quote unquote Christian art or art that reflects overtly our faith. Oftentimes there's a disconnect between, you know, other people understanding how does that even further the kingdom? What does this have to do with furthering the gospel and making sure people come to know Jesus and doing the things that God's called us to do in the earth as believers? And we live in this place of tension of doing the thing that God's called us to do. And yet a lot of times not having the people around us, church culture or other believers even that are our friends, understand the fullness of what we do. My friend Marlita Hill has written a great book called Defying Discord, and she speaks directly to this disconnect and this frustration that a lot of us feel. And I'm really excited to bring her to you on the podcast today because we talk about how we can walk naturally supernatural in the thing that God's called us to, and at the same time, really show a different way as walking as ambassadors in a world that does not look like church culture, a world that does not is not often understood by Christians and that does not often understand Christians. How can we walk fully in who God's called us to be fully Christ followers, be fully creative, and yet fully people who love and welcome and do the things that God's called us to do creatively as artists. So really excited to bring her interview to you today. You can find out all the information about Marlita's new book and all the good things that she's doing with Kingdom Artists Initiative right here in the show notes. So I'm going to get out of the way, and you're going to love meeting my friend, Marlita Hill. Well, hey, friends, I'm so excited to have my friend Marlita Hill with me today. She is not only an incredible artist and choreographer, but just really an influencer and inspirer of creative people. Marlita, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
Absolutely. I love all that you're doing, all that you're about. For those folks who are just getting to know you, why don't you let everybody know who you are, where you're from, and what you do creatively?
Absolutely. So I am a choreographer from Southern California, and so have been doing that for about 20 years or so. I've been a dance educator, started in dance ministry, moved out into the marketplace, which is what we'll be talking about today. Yeah. So been serving the Lord and living in the faith and art world for a while in different contexts. So super excited about that.
Absolutely. And just finished a graduate degree, something that I have not done. But I was like, come on, Marlita, this is awesome. So what was that like? That was a several years of a lot of hard work, right?
Oh, my gosh. It was a 3-year program. I have to give a shout out to Belhaven University on the dance department. Yes, it was definitely a new experience jumping back into my own creative practice at 40, rolling on the floor with these 18 and 20.
I love it.
Humbling experience.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I think for all of us, we come to places in our journey. I don't know if it was like that for you, but it's like you come to a place where you're like, I need more than what I've got in my tool belt. You know, were you going through that as far as looking at a graduate degree and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. And I always wanted to go. And really, for me, graduate school was a reconnection back to my creative practice, because in 2015, the Lord led me to put it down and start the Kingdom Artists Initiative. So I did. And when I put it down, I didn't think that I was going to leave dance forever. But the longer it was down, I thought, oh, maybe that was something that I used to do. Mm-hmm. And now I do this. And I remember a pastor friend of mine, he said, Marlita, you can never stop being an artist, because as soon as you do, you lose connection with the people God has assigned you to speak to.
Yeah.
And that was really powerful for me. And then I remember there was one point in graduate school where I was laying on the floor. I was doing something in class and I was like, oh, my God, I do want to do this. you know, you get reconnected, because at first I just felt foreign in my body. And, you know, I'm sure any artist who's taken a hiatus for any reason, sometimes there's reconnecting back to the flow that you used to have. Yeah. And sometimes you feel foreign in your craft just for a little bit. Yeah. And then there's that moment where things kind of click back in and you're like, oh my God, yes, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Appreciate that, because I've been in kind of a, it's been an interesting journey for me. My mom died in 2018 and it really had a big effect on my creative journey. I was just telling some artists in my mastery program I was with the last couple of days, it was like a year that I was still creating after that, but I was like in this like funk, just like doing it just because I had to make a living and that sort of thing. And then in these last few years, the Lord has really been shifting our focus into the mentoring program. And my creative practice has really shifted so much into my music and writing and that sort of thing. And I'm like, Lord, my basketry for the last 10, 11 years, which has been the focus of my life, it's like, I won't say it dried up, but it was just like, it wasn't as a primary thing for me in this last, you know, year and a half. And I'm just now starting to feel that coming back. And I think it's like everything with the Lord, right? You just have to trust that what's that verse in Genesis 50:18? It's like, I'm in the place of God. Like, we got to be in God's place, you know, wherever he's got us, and trust that all the things that we love and we do, like, he's going to bring those back around at the right time in the right season. Right.
Right. He is always faithful. And I found, like, you know, I tell people kind of, you know, God is like weaving this tapestry with our life. And sometimes he'll take you over here, then he'll take you back over here. Like, I didn't know that putting this work down, putting my choreography down and building Kai and writing books was going to get me into graduate school to resurrect my choreography. Mm. So I was invited on a teaching assistantship to graduate school, which resurrected my choreography because of the books.
Right.
You know, and so sometimes I tell people, you know, I don't necessarily make a full-time living from my choreography, but I do make a full-time living from my creativity. And so from season to season, what that creative gift looks like and how it manifests is different, you know?
Yeah, I so appreciate that. And I think for many creatives, I mean, of course, we teach all the time in the mentoring program, you know, this podcast about multiple streams of income. And, you know, there's usually for all of us as artists, there are many things that come together to make a living. And for me, that's been my baskets. And then when I started writing books and then speaking and then the mentoring program but things shift, but there, it's always this beautiful combination of things that the Lord's using in our life. So,
yeah. And I'm sure you've experienced this. Like, I didn't know that I had a gift for choreography. And then I didn't know I had a gift for writing books. And then I didn't know that. And so it's like when you are, that's, I think, one of the beautiful things about being in relationship with God as an artist is, you know, the Bible talks about expanding your territory.
Yeah.
And what you find is the Lord will expand and reveal the expansion of your creative territory. You know, you learn that there are these other creative capacities that you have as you follow the Lord in your art life. And so, you know, sometimes he'll say, okay, I want you to focus in this area and I want you to go over here. And then, okay, now bring these two together. Okay, now leave that, drop that. So it's a great adventure.
Yeah. I love that verse too, because, you know, stretch out your tent stakes. It's like, if you ever stretched out a tent, you realize there is tension in that process. Yes. There is stretching. And sometimes you say, I cannot do this, but that's the beauty of what God's doing. I think we always are holding intention, you know, both intention and in hypotension, you know, we're holding these things together, that off a dream and yet the hard work, you know, that we both have to hold on to and pursue in our life. And
I'm sure you felt this, Matt, but even between like your writing and building the mentoring portion and then your own creative practice and like how those both fit, these massive things fit in your heart, how they fit in your life logistically, how do you work them out? You know, feelings. I know sometimes I felt like, okay, can I do both well? And so there was that kind of that tension. And that negotiation of, okay, how do I do this all when I came back into graduate school? Because I had been spending so much time in the Kingdom Artists Initiative, and I was like, oh, this is what I do. And then I had to try to fit.
Well, it's not an easy road, I think, that we walk. Yeah. It's a grace-filled road that we walk as artists who are in the marketplace and that sort of thing. And that's why I was so excited. I know you've been in graduate school. I'm like, what's Marlita doing nowadays? And I got an email from you about this new book that you've written called Defying Discord. And I was like, come on, this is so great, because you are putting words to something I'm very passionate about, which is helping artists to try to walk this road in the kingdom and in the marketplace and that sort of thing. So talk about this book and where this came from, because I know it's a real passion of yours as well, that we walk naturally, supernaturally, and fully in who God's called us to be, and yet in the marketplace. But that's not always easy, is it?
Right. Absolutely. So Defying Discord is basically a love letter to particularly artists of faith who are working in the marketplace, who do not make art about faith, right? Who are not focused on creating art for evangelism or leading corporate worship or that kind of thing. And so, you know, one of the things that has come to me lately is, you know, you may not be a church artist, but you are a kingdom artist.
Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this book is not about necessarily creating division against the church or that kind of thing, but saying, I know you don't fit in that paradigm, but you do fit in this one. Yeah. So how do you fit in this? How do you participate in kingdom purpose when the art that you feel drawn to create doesn't seem like it fits in what it should fit in, that it doesn't look like what you think it should look like? Yeah. And so this is basically asking the question, because, you know, every book I write, I set like a question to answer. And so the question of this book is like, how do you serve God, build the kingdom, make Christ known when you're working out there making that kind of art with those people? And every artist of faith working in the marketplace has at some point been asked some version of that question.
Yeah.
Right. And so,
what's the point of what you're doing? How does this build the gospel? How does this move the kingdom forward? Yeah, sure.
Exactly. So essentially that's what the book is about, is answering that question. How can you possibly be participating in the kingdom and fulfilling Christian responsibility when you're doing this kind of art?
It's such a big question. I've said for years, I think, you know, our art can bless the church, but it's for the marketplace, because it's like, that's where Jesus spent most of his time, you know?
Right.
I don't know when this was, I got this revelation, but it was like, the Lord showed me one day, like, Jesus spent 30 years of his life in the marketplace as the son of a carpenter, and then probably working as a carpenter, working with clients, doing commissions before he ever preached a sermon.
Yes.
You know, hello. And then he's out walking among people and in the marketplace and everything that he's doing. The disciples are in the marketplace. Paul, the tent maker, out doing what he's called to do. And so we have to embrace this. But I think for most of us as Christians growing up, at least for me, and so many people I talk to, I know we just never had any grid that you could be fully after God, fully pursuing your kingdom assignment, and yet it be outside the four walls of the church. That's very common, isn't it, for believers?
Right. Because one of the things is, you know, something that the Lord helped me, even in my own like personal life with my family, one of the things he taught me was, I talk to you about your life. I don't talk to your family about your life, right? So they don't know what I'm showing you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm showing you.
Sure.
They will come to know when what I show you manifests, but they don't know. So they're reacting from a place of concern,
right?
But of incomplete information. And in some ways, that's what it's like with church family, in the sense of we each have different contexts that we operate in, and we have responsibilities and assignments within those contexts.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I had to realize was, it's not always that the church is against you in the marketplace. It's that they don't understand you.
That's right.
We have a different assignment. We have a different context. We are led in different ways. We're focused on different priorities, right? And so this work is to speak to the artist and say, while family gets it together, I want to let you know that your
that you're on the right path. Right.
Your father is pleased with you, so you can go ahead and do what you need to do and build what God is telling you to build while we get family together.
Yeah. Wow. And that is so, that's so good, because I know so many artists feel like nobody gets me in my church, or they're trying, I feel, you know, square peg in a round hole, that they're trying to get me to fit into what they need in the church, as opposed to equipping the saints for their work of ministry. That is that thing that God's called them to do, maybe inside the church, maybe outside the church. And I love the way that you talk about this, and it, you know, we are on the same side of the, you know, of this issue on, in so many ways, this idea that we are ambassadors in what God has called us to do. And talk about that word a little bit, ambassador, because, I mean, that really is a beautifully loaded word about what God has called us to do as kingdom artists.
Yeah, so this part of the book I wrote while I was in Spain. I would go and still go over to Spain every summer with the EDGE project, which is a project that takes artists, college artists, over to Spain. And we live in this beautiful town, Altea, for like 4 weeks. And one of the things that, that I was thinking about is, what is it for me to be an American living in Spanish culture, right? A U.S. citizen living in Spanish culture. And what is my responsibility to the culture, to honor that culture?
Right.
What is it like for me to bring part of my American customs there, to honor what their customs are? And it's very interesting, because as kingdom citizens, and the Bible says we are foreigners in this land. And so what does it mean for us as kingdom citizens to go into another culture, right? And to honor the sovereignty of that culture that God himself gives. He forces no one to serve him. Every single one of us have a choice about whether we will live for God or not, whether we will acknowledge him as our creator and our Lord or not. And so sometimes when we go into culture, you know, I talk about, you know, one of the things we might go in is as kind of bulldozers, or with a kind of colonial or imperialist mindset. Right. I'm going to snatch.
Right. This is the way to do it, right?
And I'm like, I see no biblical precedent. Right. And I, if somebody sees it, please tell me. I see no biblical precedent for God ever leading his people to go and force another culture to serve him.
Right.
Ever. I don't see it. And so this conversation that I talk about ambassadorship in the book is really about, what is it like for us as kingdom citizens to go in, to hold the standard of kingdom citizenship, right? To be the standard, and yet acknowledge that we are guests in a foreign country.
Yeah, that's so huge. I remember the first time I went to Africa, and have been privileged to go there so many times, leading worship in Kenya and doing worship conferences over the years, and speaking to creatives. And but I remember one of the things I was so sad about when I went the first time is that great church over there in Nairobi. And I walked in, and my thought was, there's going to be such incredible African music and local music, and all this is going to be so great. The sound of this culture, you know, all this sort of thing. And I walked in, and they were doing Hillsong, and they were doing all this American worship. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? You know, like, you know, and not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, praise God.
Right, but like, still you. Right.
But it was like, somehow they had gotten the idea that American worship was the real way to worship, and that their sound was not, you know, a valid sound. And I think when we do walk in a way that, where we don't feel as, you know, we're guests, but we come in kind of saying, this is the way to do it. We bring that spirit with us. And so what is it? I mean, what do you think it looks like then for an artist to be a guest in culture? Because to me, that sounds like a deference, a respect, a listening ear, I mean, what does that mean for you? How do we walk in that kind of place of humility and yet at the same time, walk in the fullness of who God's called us to be?
Yeah. So honestly, I think the biggest thing is to acknowledge that we are in a different culture. We are in a different culture, and that different culture has the right given to them by their creator again.
Yeah.
To live differently. And it was something that was really interesting for me to grapple with this, because it was like, especially as a Christian, like, because I was like, God, how could I say guest when you own everything? Mm-hmm. Right. And so I was like, well, our God owns it all. Well, yes, he does. And so he gave me this metaphor of like a picture of like a duplex, right? Like if I'm an owner of a duplex and I live in one and I rent out the other, even though I own the building,
I
have leased out this other apartment. And as an owner, I don't have the right to just walk into that other apartment whenever I want to and do whatever. Yeah. Like, they have the ability to live, as long as it doesn't violate the terms of the leasing agreement, they have the right to live however they want to. And so there is this idea of one, recognizing that people have, they have the ability to make their own choices.
Yeah.
Right. And there's also, there was this little three, kind of like a little three part framework that the Lord gave me about dealing with people in secular culture who live differently than us. Right. And it's love the person, you know, hold the standard, right. Respect the choice. So I have to respect their choices. Right. I love the person, but I hold my standards.
Yeah.
I don't need you to necessarily live like me.
Sure.
And I think it's interesting too, because one of the things I was talking about is one reason I talk about our relationship and how we see ourselves and how we see our responsibility as Christians in the marketplace is because those beliefs affect how we go into those spaces.
Hmm.
So if I believe that my job is to make sure nobody leaves there without being saved, that affects how I go into spaces.
Yeah.
If I'm dealing with disconnection and feeling like God is disappointed in me being in the marketplace, that affects how I go in those spaces. If I understand that the Lord led me here and I'm doing God's work, that affects how I go into those spaces and how I engage with people in those spaces. And so, you know, a lot of that ambassadorship, one of the things I talk about being a good ambassador is that ambassadors know that their government is in support of what they do, you know, and that affects, and they know that they're working on behalf of their government. Like
yeah, they're confident, right?
They're confident about. And so that affects how they interact with other nations.
I love, you know, I'm just, all that you're saying, I'm thinking back when I first moved to Asheville and came into the River Arts District, and you know, Asheville is such an incredible town, but we're very diverse spiritually, perspective wise, shall we say?
Yeah.
And, you know, so many different spiritual and non-spiritual perspectives and views about what Christianity means and what a Christian is and all that sort of thing. And so, there I am coming out of the Bible Belt, you know, growing up in Atlanta my whole life in the middle of church culture. And I land here and open a studio, and I was freaked out. I was like, what if people figure out I'm a Christian? And much less that I've written books and all this kind of stuff. And the Lord told me just so clearly, I've shared this so many times. He said, you do the loving and I'll do the changing. And I was like, oh, I can do that. I can love people. And it took the pressure. And I think because there's so much pressure, depending on what stream of the body of Christ you came out of, to see every relationship as, you know, having to end in some sort of salvation experience.
Or whatever. We make them transactional.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Rather than realizing that I'm here to plant seeds. I'm here to love. I'm here to walk along the journey with people. And the Bible says they, you know, nobody can come to the Lord unless the Holy Spirit draws them anyway.
Exactly.
And so I'm just a part of that process. And I think that helps with what you're talking about. It that gives me confidence and that gives me a settledness in my heart to be able to just live and love without agenda.
And like, how transformative was that for you to know that you had permission to just go be who you were and then listen for the Lord's leading for anything further?
Yeah.
You know,
it's such a big deal.
It's huge, right? Because I meet artists who really feel that pressure. And then especially in the marketplace, like right. you feel the tension of it's almost like, you know, your parents tell you, you have to go tell, you know, you have to go tell your teacher something and you really don't want to go say this. You,
right,
you feel
right.
really uncomfortable for having to go say this. And so that just changes the whole dynamic of how you exist in that space.
Yeah.
And so artists are embattled because they feel like from just, not even so much what's said directly, but what's kind of implied sometimes is I'm not doing my job.
Yeah.
I'm not showing that I care enough, that I honor God enough right. if I'm not doing this. And yet I don't feel like this is the proper way to go in here. And yet that's the only way that I know to show yeah. that I really care about this. And so to know that you have permission to just go be and trust that the Lord will lead you in the rest.
Oh yeah.
You'll be fine is huge.
I just, you know, I tell artists all the time, when you're in the marketplace, your work is the thing that speaks first. It's like, unless I was a great artist and it developed my skills, it was filled and skilled. I've been talking about it for so many years. It's like, yeah. you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost and at the same time, be an excellent artist. And as you go into the marketplace, that gives you the street cred
and the
opportunity for people to stand up and notice, okay, Marlita, okay, she's an incredible choreographer, master's degree, all this experience. I'm going to stand up and take notice. Or, wow, Matt's an incredible business owner. His business is thriving even through COVID. Or even, okay, right. I got an ear to listen to this guy. That opens yeah. the door.
Yes, because
rather than this do you know Jesus thing, you know, that
yeah. And that's so powerful because I was telling a former student of mine the same thing. She was applying for a curatorial program and she was like, you know, Miss, I submitted my artist statement and she went in and she like loaded her artist statement down with scripture and stuff like that. And this was at USC. And she said, you know, I was told that this was not good enough. And so we had a conversation
yeah.
and she was like, well, I want to tell the truth about where these ideas came from. And so right. we had a conversation about that, which was great. But one of the things that came out of that is I was like, just like you said, first, they're going to respect your work.
Yeah. yeah.
Then they're going to want to know you.
Yeah.
Then they're going to want to know what's behind you. The way you are and the kind of work that you produce.
Yes.
Right. And we flip it the other way around. Right. But that's kind of, they got to fall in love with the work first. And I talk about, you know, Mary Kay. I'm like, okay, listen, you know, all my love to the people. I'm like, imagine that you have kind of this loose associate on Facebook. You guys don't talk, but you notice she sells Mary Kay, right? And so you guys don't talk. And all of a sudden she shows all of this interest in you. It just has to meet with you.
Right.
How tense are you going to be in that conversation? Because you know, at some point she's going to whip that Mary Kay.
You're going to be buying some lip gloss here for a long.
you know yeah. that the only reason she reached out to you was for an agenda, as opposed to, right, I'm really interested in what you do. Tell me more about this. And that's one of the things that was really interesting for me to learn, too, is that people are incredibly spiritual people and love talking about spiritual conversation. Yeah. What they don't like is agenda. Right. What they don't like is being forced. So people are not afraid of your Christianity and they're not afraid of your spirituality, but they can smell agenda a mile
yeah.
away.
Yeah. I just love that. And I think it just gives, you know, all of us the call again to just be who God's called you to be, naturally supernatural, walking in the kingdom, walking in your calling, loving people, doing great work. And let him be yeah. the one that multiplies and accelerates and brings yeah. the fruit in our life. So
yeah.
Well, Marlita, what an important book. I think we all need it. And we just need to be called back to this again and revitalized in this call that the Lord has for us. I know folks are already saying, where do I get this book? Where can I find out more about what she's doing? So tell us where to grab the book and where to connect with you and all the great stuff that you're doing for artists.
Absolutely. So the book is called Defying Discord, Ending the Divide Between Your Faith and Secular Art Career. And that's defying, not defying. So Defying Discord. So you can either find the book at defyingdiscord.com or at marlitahill.com and just click on the link.
Awesome. And we'll be sure to put the link right here below in the show notes so folks can get that as well. But what a pleasure to be able to reconnect with you and just so proud to call you friend and just glad for all that God's doing in your life. So blessings, and thanks for being on again today.
Thank you so much for all you do as well, Matt. You've been such a forefather for so many people. So appreciate the work you're doing as well.
Thank you, my friend. Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye.